Great. I'll just show up and talk.
There you go. Show up and talk.
Show up and talk. We shall.
That's right. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. We are trying, oh, God, we're trying to make today make sense.
Yeah. I'm Molly Wood. Hey, it is not going to come as a surprise that this is Hollowed Out Shell Thursday. Never has an emotional arc proved so reliable as Hollowed Out Shell Thursday.
It has held up for 10 long months now.
Like, it really kind of has. Man. It's remarkable, yeah, really.
For sure.
Remarkable.
For sure.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is the depths of the hollowing out vary, right? Like, today I'm moderately hollowed out, but there are days, like weeks on a Thursday where I get here and I'm like, burn it all down. I can't do it anymore. Like, last Thursday, right? That for sure.
Last Thursday, without a doubt. Yeah. Yesterday, I would say for me, was significantly more hollowed out. I mean, the theater that we saw on the floor of the U.S., like the House speeches on impeachment. I mean, that was just, and then the level of like performative rhetoric that is occurring on every cable news channel is hard to stomach.
Yep. Yeah.
True story. So I felt worse yesterday. I feel better today, but good enough that I didn't even bother to bring that beer I said I was going to bring.
Well, fair enough. You know what? Yep. It's to each his own. Chacun a son goût, as they say, en français. Okay, so regular spiel for those of you who are new here, who joined us in the new year. Welcome, and it goes like this. We talk for a little bit about the news, then we do a little music thing, and then we talk a little bit about something that made us laugh. And then we're out of here. 15 minutes. Yeah. We're done.
Just like that. Easy peasy.
Yep.
Hey, would you allow me to briefly change the subject?
Sure. Sure.
Because I feel like we should really be talking a lot more about how 9 people, including the former governor of Michigan, have been charged for their role in the Flint water crisis. Former Governor Rick Snyder was charged with willful neglect of duty. 2 high-ranking former state health officials face 9 counts of involuntary manslaughter. I'm reading from BuzzFeed right now. For essentially ignoring the fact that the water in that city was dangerous, was poison. It's remarkable. Yeah. It's actual account. And it is kind of relevant to, it's not a complete topic change. It is more a note that sometimes accountability takes a long time. Sometimes it takes a long, way longer than you want it to, for investigations to play out, for charges to be brought, for wrongs to be righted, and even for action, which is something I've been thinking about a lot lately, because I think we just have this need for it all to get done and be figured out, and everybody to be called to the carpet, and you know, and it's like, this is years later.
Yeah.
These Flint charges, but they did happen, and that's important.
Yeah, and oh, look, here's a word: accountability and responsibility. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's interesting. I'm really glad you mentioned this, actually, because when we first started doing this daily thing back in March, we were like, let's do some stories that people aren't paying attention to because they're subsumed by other news of the pandemic and this and that, and then of course the politics and the campaign and this and that. But this is a big story that has not gotten near the light of day that it should have in the last couple of days, just because of gestures wildly at everything, you know?
I know. Particularly in the context of all that we've been talking about with, you know, reckoning with injustice and inequality in this country and racial inequality. And Flint Flint is like a poster story for cities and states and governments that don't care about Black people. And this was one of those stories. And so it's something.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And to break the fourth wall here a little bit from our production meeting this morning and to that thing you just said about keeping the spotlight where it belongs, if we stop talking about this stuff, we're going to stop talking about this stuff. And it's really easy to stop talking about this stuff when the flood of other news is so incessant. And we have to keep talking about the stuff that matters on so many other levels than, oh, my God, what did the president tweet today, or what did this Republican or Democrat say? So, and I think that's good.
A thing I composed on Twitter and then deleted today us.
Yes.
Like, hey, everyone, what if, hear me out here, because I know this is a little nutty, what if it wasn't all just about Trump? Just saying.
Oh, yeah.
I also saw, and I brought two links today.
We're going to have that test. I know. I saw that. I did.
Because the other one is just, I've seen it with multiple captions, but the screen grab about Disneyland opening as a vaccine super site.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And people on Twitter saying, one guy was like, I've never wanted to go to Disneyland more. But I think really the best one I saw was like, this is the most dystopian thing I have ever seen. I mean, if you were writing a like pandemic dystopia movie, you would for sure have Disneyland be a freaking vaccine super site. Like, this is nuts. Oh, yeah. This is nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you
well,
know.
So let's give the look ahead, right? Either this coming Tuesday or the Tuesday after that, frankly. I drifted off during that portion of our meeting this morning. We're going to talk about the vaccine and the rollout and how that's working. And, well, come on, you drift off during meetings too.
It's right? Tuesday. This is a really short meeting.
All right, good. Like, come on, I've got the attention to benefit squirrel. You know, I mean.
I know,
right?
We all do. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry, Donna.
Anyway, I'm pretty sure we
Marissa.
Decided it's
sorry,
Tuesday.
Sorry, Satara. I paid attention through most of it. Oh, man.
We are going to talk about vaccine distribution rollout, the whole thing where like every single person on our meeting today, the fourth wall is gone. You might as well, we should just publish the meeting later.
There is no fourth wall.
Because during the meeting, pretty much everybody was like, oh yeah, I've talked to my parents and you know, they're trying to figure out how to get it and they can't and the friends can't and they've called the, and it's like every city and state and county has a different way and it's just, couldn't be more of a hot mess.
Yeah. It's craziness. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. So my item, it's a one and a half-ish item. And it's a story in the Washington Post today about Facebook and its role in what happened. Actually, it's yesterday in the Washington Post, but I didn't see it till this morning. Sorry. About Facebook, its role in the attack on the Capitol the other day, the fact that Sheryl Sandberg tried to play it down. Of course she did. Come on. And how people are looking at Facebook, right, to see how it played a role in this disinformation campaign and all of that stuff. But I have two things I want to talk to you about. Number one, and when I say you, I don't mean the listeners. I mean you, Molly Wood. Number one is actually, it's one large thing, and it goes like this, and I have to do a little setup. So 4:43 this morning, I get out of bed, I come downstairs, I turn on my audio feed, which is our local radio station, KPCC, and I turn it on just in time for Marketplace Tech, right? Hmm. And honestly, I'm kind of, oh yeah, every morning, that's my gig. And I'm making sure the coffee machine is on and I'm finding my slippers so that I can get the dog outside to pee. So I was kind of only listening with one ear. But you had a conversation this morning about how all these yahoos who went into the Capitol videotaped themselves committing felonies and it's going to be really easy to find them. But then the person you were talking to said, look, we don't want everybody going out there doing their own internet sleuthing on these yahoos who are on the internet, because it's easy to get stuff wrong. It's easy to accidentally dox the wrong people, all of this stuff. And mm-hmm. I wonder what your take is on how easy it is to find these people, but caveat emptor, right? Be really careful about this.
Yeah, I think it's such an interesting conversation. And I actually think that it's been a long time since anybody was talking about the right to be forgotten. But I think, but that is something that was part of the conversation on tech this morning. It was an investigator from this site called Bellingcat, and they're kind of like open source investigation platform. It's sort of half investigative journalist, half sort of digital archiving, and they collect all this information from, you know, volunteers and crowdsourced, basically like crowdsourced publicly available information, and then they draw conclusions from it. But one of the things I asked was, so yes, like you've got this double whammy thing happening where one, there's the whole potential for misinformation and misidentification and just like the weird witch hunt part of it where everybody on Reddit is like, oh, we're going to hunt them all down. And that's happening and they're turning them into law enforcement and people are being arrested. And then you have which is good, right?
We want these people found and arrested, right? But the challenge is that you got Joe Blow out there doing it, and that's a little scary. Yep.
And it's a little scary, and somebody could get hurt, and it's just, you know, like, we're. Right. I think I joked on Tuesday with Nina Jankowicz that, like, we like to overcorrect in this society, and we do.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then long term, there will be the question of, you know, right now we see, like, what happens when you dig up somebody's old Twitter feed and you find out they said a bad thing and they're in trouble, right? And long, long term, especially when you're dealing with people who have been, I don't know, it's like a tricky thing to even bring up because, you know, some of these people, you don't have to look very far through their social media histories to find out, like, they were pretty easy to radicalize because they've been hecka racist right. for a long time, right? Like, there's like, nice people can be white supremacists, turns out.
Yeah.
Olympians can be white supremacists.
I know.
Just throwing that out there. But you also have some people there who were, like, potentially true believers who really did think. I mean, if you think about the version of the QAnon conspiracy that has recruited people based on this save the children ideal.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Like, if you really believed that babies were being killed and eaten by Democrats, if you really believed that a cabal, and you may find it hard that people really believe that, but they do. And if you really, truly believe that, how could you not show up? How could you not say it is my duty to show up here and fight this because it's evil? And those people are also going to be photographed and be online forever. And they might be, like, deprogrammed, right? They might come out of the cult, but still be associated with this image for the rest of their lives. It's just, like, it's really complicated. A lot of this stuff is really complicated. Mm-hmm. And I know this is not a time. These are, like, my least favorite times.
Yeah.
It's not a time for nuance right now.
Yeah.
Someone will yell at me for everything that I have just said. An individual person will find each sentence and yell at me about it. But, like, we do have to try to talk
smart at
about
marketplace.org.
The nuances. Yeah. Just bring it on.
Right.
I'm ready.
So,
it's complicated.
Anyway, so
and the Facebook
and
stuff was complicated, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a really good conversation this morning, even though I was only listening with one ear, and I just found it really interesting.
And then he nodded off because he gets up at 4:43 in the morning. No wonder you're not off in meetings.
Well, yeah. I didn't nod off. I just tuned out, like, for a little bit.
Totally different.
All right, somebody save me from this moment. Thank you. God. Jeez. Oh, man. Okay, so another one from the pages of the Washington Post. I'm gonna paraphrase the top two paragraphs of this article talking about United States Secret Service protection for the home of Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump, the outgoing senior advisors to the President of the United States. They, of course, get Secret Service protection, which is fine. That's great. But the Washington Post reports this today. Instructed not to use any of the half dozen bathrooms inside the couple's house, the Secret Service detail assigned to President Trump's daughter and son-in-law spent months searching for a reliable restroom. They went to the home of former President Barack Obama in a garage there. They thought about a porta potty, also the not so nearby residence of Vice President Pence. But that was not working out. So the United States Secret Service, to make sure that its agents could go to the bathroom while they were protecting the president's children, rented a basement studio apartment for $3,000 a month. So that they can go to the bathroom.
So they had a place to go potty.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Our own Jenny Josephson, former producer at Make Me Smart, producer, tweeted that the story should get a Pulitzer.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
And I'm just saying, as long as the wall is gone, Donna, Marissa, that's a high bar. It's a high bar.
It's all coming down.
It's all coming down. I think you are really going to appreciate my Make Me Smile today, given that I know that you and I both are fans of Rate My Room, Room Raider on Twitter.
You're a bigger fan than I am because you got good grades and I got like a 7 out of 10. What the hell?
I did. I got a higher score. Well, that's why I think you are really going to appreciate what happened today.
Oh, this is great. I'm clicking on it. Oh, yes. This is awesome. Uh-huh. Yes, go ahead.
Because the other person who got a 7 out of 10 on Room Raider today is Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell.
Oh, man.
who I believe we discussed on yesterday's show. Your homie Jerome also needed to reframe add some light, which I think were criticisms also levied against one kind of stuff.
Yes, they were. Yes, they were. Oh, my God.
And I'm not going to lie, this made me laugh out loud.
Oh, this! I love this. This is great. This is great.
You can be as important as you want to be, but Room Raider will not spare the punches.
It'll dig you down to where you belong to be. Oh, that's great. Thank you for that. I love that. Oh, that's too funny.
So you're in good company.
Good stuff. I am in good company. My homie Jay. Me and Jay. JP, that's what I call him. All right. Anyway, we're done. We're back tomorrow. Economics on Tap. It's Friday, the YouTube live stream, 3:30 Pacific, 6:30 Eastern. Sign up for our newsletters too, would you? Looking at the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's work as a labor organizer this week, an unknown aspect of his work, actually. Sign up at marketplace.org/newsletters, would you? Me and Jay Powell send a tweet.
Jay Powell, same Z's, basically the same guy.
That's right. Okay, Make Me Smart, which is this podcast, is produced and directed by Marissa. In case you were lost, Marissa Cabrera, Tony Wagner does our digital stuff. Erica Phillips writes our newsletter, also the Make Me Smart skill on your smart devices.
I like guarantee that what happened just now is he had both of the pictures up side by side, like his Room Raider and Jerome's.
Totally did.
Jerry's. Today's program was engineered by Drew Jostad. Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music, and thank God they made a long version. Our senior producer is Donna Tam, and the executive director of On Demand is Satara Nieves.
Oh my goodness.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.